Welcome back to another episode of Retcon, the podcast of Assorted Geekery. I'm Rick Marshall, and today we're talking about the intersection of science, games, and a young girl's undaunting ingenuity. Song of the Deep, a new video game by Insomniac Games, is hitting a frequently untapped market when it comes to children. A book produced in parallel with the game tells a story of a young girl named Marin, who builds a submarine to venture out into the open water in search of her father, who disappeared one stormy night at sea. Retcon's Patrick Garrett spoke with author and co-founder of Insomniac Games on what the games and book industry are doing to help encourage young girls.
What is the difference between writing the book and writing for a video game?
I think maybe the biggest difference is that books and games have very different strengths. What I really love about video games is it's about discovering a world, and we like making new worlds, fantastic worlds. But the best part is that as a player, you get to go in and discover it and find out its mysteries on your own. And the best part about books, I think, is they let you get deeper into the characters. You get to see sides of the characters that would just never come about in a video game where you're playing as the character. You don't connect as much. You don't get as in-depth with them. So I think the book allows you to see a lot more of, in this case, Marin and her life, and see it through her eyes, what her thoughts are, what she's like.
Now, Marin's the child in the book, and it's told from her perspective. She actually builds a submarine in it. Is there a reason why you chose a small child, a girl, versus a boy?
Marin is inspired by my daughter. Actually, she's a character I created in order to inspire my daughter, because when my daughter was around 9, she would tell me a lot about the characters that she liked, and she likes to write her own stories. But when she would read a book or see a movie with a female protagonist, she tended to tell me about the characters, and the first thing she would always say is how pretty they were. And that just got me thinking about how in games and in movies, the heroines are always beautiful, and that's, I think, kids tend to zero in on that and just associate that as being the most important thing, or at least very important to the character. And I wanted to create a hero that represented the qualities that I wanted my daughter to admire about herself, a hero that was only heroic because of her actions, of her inner qualities, that she's intelligent, she's creative, she's kind. You know, that's what gets her through the journey.
So I take it your daughter's interested in science field?
She is. She's really into science, yeah.
Do you encourage it within your own home?
We do. I mean, yeah, we really try to foster, like, anything she likes. She's very artistic, and she likes writing as well. But she loves science in school, and so we try to, you know, we go to museums, and we watch, you know, science shows, and like anything we can to, you know, just to keep her excited about the things that she's interested in.
Well, now, people often say that kids aren't interested in reading anymore. People are always interested in video games, that interactiveness, even with the advent of Pokemon Go, the brand new app taking over the world right now. What would make a kid want to pick up the book?
I think kids have really, I mean, a lot of parents have told me that their kids have read it and have told me how they've reacted to it. And I think for both boys and girls, it's a character who you can relate to, because one, she's vulnerable, and what she's doing is all out of love for her father. So it's about the lengths that we go to help people we love. But also, she's all on her own throughout it. She doesn't have any help. So it's a story about kids being independent and having to overcome extreme adversity and seemingly impossible challenges all on their own. So it does have the fantasy fantasy of discovery and just kind of like an incredible world that she finds down there below the sea. But it's also a world where she doesn't have anyone helping her. She doesn't have a mentor character. She doesn't have a parent. She doesn't have anyone who's going to solve the problems for her. And I think that's something that, you know, kids can identify with their own challenges that they go through when sometimes they feel like they're on their own and having to overcome something.
What makes you want to put this story, I mean, both video game-wise and book-wise, in the sea with sea monsters?
We had an idea we actually had 3 different pitches for submarine games, and there was something that just resonated with that. But for me personally, I've always been kind of fascinated with the idea that there's something magical that's just out of sight, something that could really exist. And the book and the game are both filled with magical realism. So it's intended to be a world that could be our world. It's not, you know, it's not an alien planet. It's not a pure fantasy setting. It's intended to be that. This could be real, but at the same time, there are elements that feel fantastic but are accepted by the characters as being real things, as being things that are just naturally part of the world. So I think the whole idea, you know, that there actually could be something down in the depths, something that's yet undiscovered, is just kind of fascinating. I think it's something that we kind of share. It's, as a kid, I used to dream of my bed being a submarine, of going exploring the depths. I'm just thinking that there's something still out there that we could discover. There's something that we haven't found yet, and maybe I'm going to be the one to find it.
The inspiration behind the title, both the game and the book, The Song of the Deep, how does that come to be?
It's based on Maren's father would sing her songs, lullabies about the mysteries that are down there, and the theme of songs plays out throughout the whole story. When she dives down and she finds these stones that resonate with this melodic hum, which is the same tune as one of her father's lullabies. A lot of mysteries that are tied into songs and where the songs came from and what they mean. There's a deeper mystery that gets uncovered throughout the course of the game and the book that's all related to songs.
This is primarily a children's book. It's aimed at children. But, as an adult myself, both reading and playing video games, I find myself captivated by a lot of these younger tales. Do you have any books or games you'd compare it to?
There are a lot of stories that affected me when I was growing up. And my first one that really made a difference was The Neverending Story. That one by Michael Ende. It was such a beautiful, magical world of discovery. And also, deeply sad in certain parts, and I think it had a big effect on me emotionally. I got really angry at the author as I was reading it. It's like, how could he do this in the swamps of sorrow? I wanted to capture that same kind of discovery and magic, the same kind of strengths of characters, and also the journey that the hero has to go through of it seeming impossible. You don't know. You look at what's ahead of you. At one point, Maren has to get past three impassable lands, and each one is more deadly, and she just has no idea how she's going to do it. And at that point, she had met other characters along the way, but there's no one who can help her. There's no one who can get her past this, and just people who are depending on her getting through. I think I had that same feeling as I was reading Neverending Story. I think I was 10 when I first read it, and so I think in some ways I've wanted to create a similar feeling in a book and in a game.
Can I ask about the game?
Just sure, one? Yeah.
Okay. When it comes to the game's puzzles and the intricacies of when it comes to making these parts of it that bring it together, how does that help tell the narrative?
Well, every part of the world throughout has a different feel, has a different set of secrets and discoveries. So whether it's the bone vaults or the marrow ruins, each one has secrets that you're going to uncover. And yeah, each one has puzzles that are connected to both the environment and also to the story. So when you're going through Watcher's Hollow, there's a giant diving bell spider that lives there that Maren's going to have to encounter. But as you're going through, you're starting to uncover the secrets, and you're starting to have to solve puzzles. And in the course of doing so, you'll find mysteries of, okay, why is it that certain creatures, a small cuttlepuff creature, is immune to the seemingly, truly deadly enemies all around. But you don't know why, and you're starting to figure out little bits of mystery and put a larger story together. Or you'll also shine your searchlight on certain rocks, and you'll uncover these hand-drawn etchings, and you don't know who made them, but each one tells a bit of a story, and you start uncovering that as you go. Or as you go through the Forbidden City, there's this city of gold that Maren's father sung to her about. And as you go through it, you discover that the people who live there have vanished, and you don't know why. And there are a series of pretty challenging and, I think, really fun puzzles that you're going to go through. And each one will reveal a little bit more about, okay, who were the people, the Fomori, who made this city, and what became of them, and what were they doing here, and why did they make the things that they made.
All right, Brian, I want to thank you for joining us today on Retconned.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
That was Retcon's Patrick Garrett speaking to Insomniac Games co-founder Paul Hastings about Song of the Deep. This has been Retcon, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Our producers are Jessica Blaustein Marshall and Patrick Garrett. I'm Rick Marshall. Hey, if you like this show, make sure to subscribe on your podcast app of choice. Thanks for listening.